Today's daf in the Masechet Nida brought to you from Johannesburg is daf Yud Aleph. We are holding a daf Yud Aleph Beit at the two dots on the bottom. So the Mishnah said, "Bamei Amru Daya Shata." When do we say that we can rely on the fact that she's not mitam lemafreya, and that there's no problem of any chashash in the women that were listed above? That is to say, the arba noshim shadayan shata, and so on. That's dafke b'ri'iya rishona. The first time that she's roya dam, we assume that that is a fluke. But the second time that she's roya dam b'ri'iya shni'a, there we're assuming that, okay, I guess she's no longer misulekat damim. On the simple level, one reads the Mishnah, and it sounds like that's true of all of the four cases. But the truth is that the four cases are separated into two very different sets. Two of the four cases, namely pregnancy and nursing, are cases where there is an active hormonal reason not to be roya dam. The other two cases, which are the betulat damim and the zekena, there's no active reason, there's just a passive reason. So that in both cases, we're assuming that she does not have the necessary, whether she's too young or she hasn't yet arrived at a time when she's being roya. Let's forget about the too young, we'll talk about just she hasn't been roya. So we've seen that hormonally she hasn't started her menses. If she's postmenopausal, so it appears that she no longer has that hormonal structure. But there's no active reason not to be roya. There's nothing preventing her from being roya. The pashtus of the Mishnah is that it's referring to all of the above cases. Once she has her second re'iya, we assume, whoops, looks like pregnancy wasn't enough to stop her from bleeding. Looks like menopause, what we thought was menopause, wasn't really. It was just a dribbling out of re'iyas. So Rav says, Amar Rav, indeed you'd be right. Akulu. When the Mishnah says the second time she bleeds, it's assumed that she's become like everybody else. It means even one who is pregnant and nursing. Where Shmuel says, no. There's two different sets. So the question of the betula and the zekena, where she's pre-menses or post-menses, that's an assumption. So if now she's bleeding the second time, so in that case, we assume, okay, now she's either begun her menses, or she's back to normal. In, however, the case where there's an active reason not to bleed, so then, dayan koyame iburan, dayan koyame minikutan. As long as she's pregnant, as long as she's nursing, there is no, doesn't matter how many times she was roya, she is not considered to be a normal woman to be metama lemafreya. We have the same machlokas as we had here between Rav and Shmuel, we have between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish says, Akulu, agreeing with Rav. And Rabbi Yochanan said, Lo shona ela betula v'zikena, avo mihuberetu minika. He too agrees with Shmuel, dayan koyime iburan, dayan koyime minikutan. There, as long as they're actively controlled against bleeding, which is through the ibur or the yinika, over there they're considered to be damea misulakim 100%. In fact, it's a machlokes tanoi. Take a look at the following bright, a ketanoi. Mihuberetu minika. And this, of course, was our problem. That set of Muberta Medica, shall you shofot dam ubaot that are bleeding copiously? And another, there seems to be, my gosh, there seems to be absolutely no reason not to consider her to be a normal woman. It's not as if she had a little bit of staining. She's literally bleeding copiously. Doesn't matter. Dayan koyame iburan, v'dayan koyame minikutan divrebi meir. She is considered to be 100% misulekat damim. As soon as she's a bit tired, next time she bleeds, makes no difference. We're not going to be matame or meitle. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yuda, and Rabbi Shimon Omrim, lo amru dayan shatan elabriya rishona. Even in the case of a meneket and a meuberet, the only time that we say we don't have to be chayesh lemafreya is dafka, the first time that she's rey adam after her pregnancy, during her pregnancy, and during her nursing period. Avo bishniyav, she bleeds again, mitama meitleet, umipkida lepkida. We treat her like anybody else, and we are matamer retroactively, as they did in the opening Mishnah. So, the Mishnah continues on with a very provocative statement, and that is that if the re'iya was through some type of ones, so over there it doesn't count. Then even the second re'iya would be her first re'iya, because we attribute the original bleeding to whatever event triggered it, a fall, heavy exercise, whatever it is. But of course, that gets you thinking. So how about if every time that she does that exercise, she's bleeding? Is that itself a vesed? Now, this is very similar to the issues that we discussed yesterday. We had the three-month psika, which we thought was a cessation of menses. Then it turns out that this happens again, and it happens again. So that was our question. Is that itself a new vesed? So we started talking about that yesterday. So we began investigating the issue of vesed, of periodicity, in the period. And we continue now with the last statement of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah seems to be saying we can attribute bleeding to a direct physical cause. We don't need to necessarily have an understanding of a hormonal cycle involved in the bleeding. So this raises the question, would a physical act per se be able to trigger bleeding in terms of being mechayev her to assume that she was roya, as if she had such a veset, and if she wasn't bodeket, then she'd have to assume that she had been roya tipastam kechardal, and now doesn't see it, because she would be tmeah, because she wasn't bodeket b'shat v'sta. In which case, every time that she does this exercise, whatever it was that we're saying may have triggered the re'ia, she'd have to be bodeket, because it would be like any veset kavua. That's our question. Ask the Gemara, or it says the Gemara, the Shitot, Omer Rav Huna, look, if in fact, kafsavarata, which the Mishnah says would be considered to be an ones, but suppose she does this exercise, and she's Royadam. She's kafsavarata again, and she's Royadam. Kafsavarata, so again she jumps, and she's Royadam. So in that case, says Rav Huna, rather opaquely, kavala veset. Now it's not clear what the veset is, but she is definitely considered to be a veset kavua. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean, kavala veset? Do you mean that, as is the case in the Mishnah, there was an additional component? In other words, it was on a particular day. So let's say it was the first of the month, or let's say it was always on a Sunday. And then we would have every third Sunday. So if that would be the case, then there would be two components over here. She doesn't see just with the kvitsa, but rather we were talking about a case where she was kofetzet on a particular day, which had she not been kofetzet on, would nonetheless, had she been roya, we would have assumed was dependent on the day, on a hormonal cycle, and not on the act of kvitsa. So if that would be the case, what are we saying? She was kovat la veset. Does he mean to say that she was kovat la veset for those days in which she saw, despite the fact that she didn't kofetzet? Well, that wouldn't make much sense, would it? Because let's say so every third Sunday or every fourth Sunday, she would be roa with kofetzet. So we'd assume that the fourth Sunday, because we go in Vesatot, Aliba the Shita of Reb Shimon Gamliel requires three recurrences, and before we can establish the pattern, not like Rebbe who's talking about two occurrences. So if she's on the fourth Sunday, where she didn't do any exercise, we'd assume that she was Roya, and if she wasn't by Dekas, that she would be, in fact, Tamiya. That doesn't make sense. Because how called Yumid Alokov, it's Alokazoi. The fact is that any time that she hadn't done her exercises, she never was Royadam. So if there was a Sunday that she hadn't jumped on, explains the Rashash, she didn't see Dam, so then why in the world would we think that a Sunday that she was not Kofetzet is a Veset Kavua when we definitely have an additional catalyst for the Re'iyah? Ella, what Rav Huna meant was that you should not mistake the Veset that she has to be a Veset for kvitsa, in other words, the physical act alone, even if it's not associated with a particular time, that there she was kova'at, that any time that she does this exercise, if she doesn't check herself afterwards, that she's considered to be tmei'at. I thought the Braita says, Vatanya, kol shetikba'ena machmat ones afilu kama pa'amim lo kava'aveset. Doesn't the Braita say that whatever was considered to be kavua, as an event that happens out of some type of physical activity, something caused her, or doesn't have to be activity necessarily, it could be she eats a particular food, and has a reaction to that food and she bleeds. So here the Braita seems to be saying that doesn't matter how many times that would happen, it's not considered to be a kviut veset, unless it's associated with some type of hormonal pattern. So then how could, I mean, that doesn't that mean my lav lo kava klal? Doesn't that mean that if we see that the bleeding is associated with an event or a reaction, then it's not considered to be normal hormonally controlled uterine bleeding, and she doesn't have a veset at all. So why would Rav Huna say she's kovat la veset for something that is a physical act? No, says the Gemara, that would be a mistake. Doesn't mean she's not kovat la veset at all. It means she's lo kava veset liyamim lechudayu ulekvitzot lechudayu. It means that if there is a physical trigger that's associated with a hormonal pattern, then the hormonal pattern alone is insufficient to consider her to have been roya. And therefore, if she wasn't bodeket, it wouldn't matter, because we do not assume that without the trigger it occurred. And vice versa, if the trigger occurs at some other point than the pattern that's been associated with her michzor, with an actual period that has to do with hormones, we don't believe that the physical event per se is enough to be koveya veset, and therefore she would be tameya if she doesn't check. So what we're saying is, let's say that it was every fourth Sunday that she had jumped and was roya. On the fifth time that that happens, fourth time that that happens, the what Rav Huna is saying, what the Braita is saying is, the Sunday alone is not going to be koveya that she was raya. Therefore, if she didn't do a bedikah, she'd still be tayra. And how about if she jumps on Saturday or on the Thursday before? The jumping is not enough to be koveya. If she jumps on Sunday when she normally goes to gym, then she would have to be bodeket, and if that, she would be tameya. That's all that the Braita was saying. Avokavala veset liyamim ulekvitzot. However, there is a veset there for the combination of triggers to her vestment. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand. I mean, obviously there can't be a trigger of the days alone, because every time that she jumped, other than on the third Sunday, or for whatever the case may be, she wasn't roya. So, I mean, it's clear that there was no indication whatsoever that the day without the trigger, the additional trigger, would have caused her to be a roah. So why in the world would I have thought such a thing? That's pshita. Omer Avashi kagon. I'll tell you what the case is. The chiddush is like this. If she does her exercises on Sunday, she does her, and she's roya. She does her exercises again the fourth Sunday, and she's roya. And then the next time, the third time, which is necessary to be kovat aveset, she did her exercises on Saturday, or on Friday. It's not so clear that it would be, let's say on Saturday. So on Shabbos kafza, and she isn't roya, but on Sunday, she is roya. But she's roya without any additional exercises. There's the chiddush. So ma'od etema, you might have thought that in such a case, at least, we would say, well, well, well. So it isn't the immediate trigger of the exercises that causes it. She would be roya on Sunday even without the trigger, because she did. Therefore, what he's coming to say is that no, it's the trigger, despite the fact that the trigger took place the day before, it doesn't matter. She's not going to be kovat aveset by the day. We would in that case say, look, it's too much of a coincidence that she did the exercises the day before and was roya. So it's very possible that the combination of whatever reaction there was enough, even though it was the next day, to trigger her re'iyah, because that was the period at which you would have seen with that trigger. And that's the chiddush of Rav Huna. V'hai d'lo chazoi. The truth is, it was the kvitza of etmol, it was Shabbos' kvitza, that caused her to be roya. The thing is that her blood did not appear until her hormones reached the stage at which that was allowed to happen. So, haidelo chazoi mishum dakati lo mota zman kvitza. The reason we don't see any bleeding is because the other part of the combination of triggers didn't arrive yet. But when it arrives, that kvitza was enough to trigger that bleeding. That would be the Kiddush of Rav Huna. Otherwise, you're right. I mean, how would we possibly have thought, having never seen evidence, that without a kvitza, that a Sunday causes her to bleed, it would be ridiculous for him to need to tell us, don't think it's Sunday. Of course I wouldn't think it's Sunday. So this case is his Kiddush. That over here, I might say, okay, I didn't have the jumping, Kamashbalan, that a jumping within the day, the day before of the actual Re'iyah, is also considered to be enough to tell you, don't look at the date. Now, there's another Lashon in Ravuna. This other Lashon is a machlokes rishonim, how to be understood. In the Gemara, it says like this. Kof tzavarata, kavala veset liyamim, velolekvitzot. In this case, Ravuna said that you should know if there were two separate issues, the day and the physical activity. Again, when I say activity, I don't mean activity necessarily in the sense of exercise, but ayadei ones. So it's some issue, some physical, non-hormonal issue was part of the trigger. So nonetheless, she was kovat a veset only in terms of the day and not in terms of the jumping. Now, what is that supposed to mean? Echidami says a machlokas rishonim in the girsa in the coming piece, according to which either Rav Huna is saying a different case than the case that we just mentioned in Rav Huna, but not arguing on it. And in this case, we didn't have a thrice kvitza and yomim. So according to this girsa, if it's a different case, it's not chelek on the previous lashon of Rav Huna. The lishna achrina is not a machlokas. The Rambam learns that it is a machlokas. That it is a machlokas. The Rambam also learns it's a machlokas. And the girsa that we have is a very specific girsa. Note, echidami, amrevashi, the kofitz pechad b'shabbat v'chazoi, the kofitz pechad b'shabbat v'chazoi, and now the Gemara is missing the next words. In this case, it doesn't say, and on Shabbos, Erev that Sunday, she was kofetza, but rather it just says, and on the third Sunday, she was chazoi without kvitza at all. Da'ata miglai milta, the yume hidikagorim, in the case where she wasn't kofetzet and still saw on the Sunday. So then, once again, we look for the pattern. The only absolute pattern that we see it having occurred three times is that on three Sundays, she was raya. You cannot tell me if the pattern isn't established, Alibet Rebbe, that the fact that the first two were accompanied by kvitza should ruin the patterns of Sunday. Therefore, on Sunday, she is kova'at, but she is not kova'at with kvitza at all. And therefore, says Rav Huna, the yomim indeed are kova'at, but the kvitzot are excluded because apparently they're meaningless. If you're goris, this b'shabbos kavtzev lo chazoi, meaning not that you're literally goris necessarily, but that you say that the Gemara is just saying b'kitzer, you know the case we had before, you know. Because apparently nobody's actually literally goris the words. The question is whether I meant to understand this as a repetition of a previous case. So if you understand it as a repetition of a previous case, then Rav Huna's Badafka is saying in this lashon against the conclusion that we said before. Like what we said before was that since within the past day she had done the physical trigger, so that catalyst is necessary for her hormones to trigger her nidos. In this case, he's saying no. Since the pattern teaches us only to look at the Sundays, we ignore the fact that it was kvitza before, it wasn't directly associated with the Riyah today. Okay, so the question is whether we should assume that it says this or not assume. According to Rambam, we're assuming that it's cholek, and therefore, for all intents and purposes, it means as if it said it, and it's not goris it. Okay, we need to get somebody to give us the formula, and there we go.
Fangt an der heilige Mishnah.
Close, close. Afagav shamru daya shata. Now, even though we just said daya shata, and even though Rashi says over here, the reference is to a woman who has a veset kafua, bashba only that case, we're going to see in the Gemara, and many of the acronym are mefarish, Rashi doesn't mean only that case, so that it could be a reference to all of the above cases. To afagav shamru daya shata, which is the way Tosus understands it. Nonetheless, all of these women, Tzrichaliot Bodeket, they need to make a Bedika. Remember that Bedika, we spoke about it earlier in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, that was the reason that we have the idea of 24 hours. Where do we pick 24 hours out of a hat? No. Since she violated the Takana of the Rabbanan to do her Bedika, Shachrit Varvit, so we give her a fine to lose an additional 12 hours, to make it 24 hours. That's the point. So we already know about this. And we referenced this Mishnah earlier. We already know that a woman has to be bodeket every day twice a day. Now, obviously, as we're going to see later on, this is not referring to a woman b'zman hazeh. It's referring to a woman who's being oseket b'taharot, and this is a takana specifically for truma of a kachim, where she's being oseket b'taharot, and has nothing to do with the nida vis-a-vis her husband. So again, remember, nida is part of Masechet Taharot. It's not part of Seder Taharot. It's not part of Seder Nashim. So the central theme throughout nida is always going to be in terms of Tyrus, not in terms of her husband. And there's many nafkaminas la'alocha, because we're much more machmir for Tyrus, vis-a-vis dinim of tumah v'tayra, than we are on a particular chashash that she should become asura for her husband. So this halacha is nogea. If she's to be oseket b'taharot, then she has to make sure that she's going to do her bedika shachri v'arvit. Chutz min anida, obviously, if she's already a nida, there's no point of her doing a bedika. Furthermore, if she is yoshevet al dam tor, let's say that she had a child, so if she had a girl, so now she's in the middle, she's 2 weeks later, after 14 days, any blood that she's going to be seeing now for the next 66 days is not going to be matamir. If she had a boy, then after 7 days, any blood that she sees for the next 33 days is not going to be matamir. Let's go dam tohar. So what's the point of her checking herself? Even if she's bleeding, she's tohar. And as far as the nida is concerned, why would she check herself? She's tameya. There's no point in knowing whether she's continuing to bleed. She bled once, she's going to be tameya for 7 days. So why bother looking to see if you bled? So there's no purpose. Now, the implication of the Mishnah is, in the case of the nida, a remarkable implication, because it sounds very stupid. What do you mean, except for nida? She's not going to be a sekis b'tyrus. Well, what are you talking about? You say this whole idea is limited to a woman who's being osekes b'tayres. They say, but Anita doesn't have to. Well, obviously, she doesn't have to. So the point of the Mishnah, therefore, is that once we had made a takana, that she is supposed to be, like all women, are supposed to be bodeket atatzman, twice a day, because ultimately they'll have shaykhus to tayres. It doesn't mean necessarily at this moment. So once that's true, if there's any possible reason in the world for her to find out whether she's bleeding, we would have told her to go ahead and find out. That's the implication of the Mishnah. In which case, the Mishnah is telling us that there is no halakhic ramification to know whether you're bleeding or not, if you are anida. Now, that already touches on a different issue that we're going to discuss in a moment. Because, I mean, are there no ramifications to figuring out if you're bleeding in terms of the problem of defining your period? So even though the woman says, even though I'm anida, and I stained on Sunday, so now it's Friday, and they're saying, don't bother being bedik. Well, is that absolutely clear? How about if that Friday I'm roya, and it would be the fourth Friday in a row in which every fourth Friday I'm roya? So despite the fact that I had had my period la'alacha on Sunday, I mean, it was just a little bit of staining, wouldn't this now be defining, I'm sorry, third Friday in a row, meaning in a row with a particular periodicity, that this would be my veset? If the Mishnah says she doesn't have to bother, the implication is that you cannot create a veset in the middle of your nidot. That's what it seems to be saying. And there'd be no purpose in her doing a bedika whatsoever. Now that's a chiddush we're going to have to discuss in the Gemara.
I mean, why is this old woman at the top? She was just the woman
that
went around your
shalayim? No. Whoever is a second spetiris is truma, not only kosher. Yeah. Umisha meshed be'edim. Now we're going to see that even though this has to do with sexual relations, obviously the whole point is to have intercourse utilizing a bedika before and a bedika afterwards. This, despite the fact it seems to be nogea her husband, isn't. It's nogea tyrus. It's just that once we were koveya, the bedika vis-a-vis tyrus, so then we also have to take into consideration what the impact of intercourse may be on ri'ya. So, but it would not be a din in a normal case. So she needs to be mishameshet to be'idim as well. Chutz mi'ashevet al dam tor. Huh. Wow, this is weird. Ubetula shedomea tohorim. Wait a minute. When you say that in the first case, now, this is a very important thing. In other words, in a case where someone is a bitula, meaning that she had not been at this case, bleeding because of nidot. She was bleeding because of the wound of the loss of her betulin. So we said before that if she hadn't been roya, we give her 4 days in which any blood that she's going to be roya is not considered to be blood that has to do with nidais. It's considered to be blood from a wound, and blood from a wound is not mitami. Now, for some reason, we're only saying this about mishameshet beedim, that this girl does not check herself prior or post-intercourse. But as far as whether she needs to do the bedika, pamayim beyom, we didn't say chutz min habetula. We said chutz min haminida, um yoshevet adam tar, right? The Gemara is going to question why that's true later. Upamim, pamayim, tzricha liot bodeket, she needs, when we said bodeket, we didn't explain what we meant. Well, now we're going to explain it. We mean she has to check herself. Shacharit and Ben Hashmashot, and when we were talking about Mishamesh Beidim, what we meant was Bishaha Shiovert Shamesh Beita, we meant when she's about to have intercourse. Now Yeterot Alayhen Kohanot, and a Kohenet has an additional din that if she's about to eat Truma, as opposed to Stam, we're talking about a second Betarot to touch, if she's about to eat Truma, she checks herself to see whether she was in Nida. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Bishat Avaratan Milecho Betruma, even after she completes eating Truma, as we spoke about earlier, that this was Nogea, defining the status of the leftovers. Remember, we spoke about that at length before. Well, it's because, as we said before, that there's a problem with this bedika vis-a-vis Pekida. The problem in the aid before is that she's too excited sexually to do a good job. And the problem in the bedika afterwards is that we're afraid that semen is going to mess up her dam. So it's really not a normal bedika. Because let's say if she's roya dam kechardal, she may easily simply lose that coloration in whatever other liquid she's going to find on her aid.
It's a swipe.
Yeah. No, it's not just a swipe. It's a real bedika. But since roa dam could be tipat dam kechardal, so once she has semen there that she's also going to be bodeket, she won't see this dam. So therefore, the Gemara said earlier that we don't view this as mamish kepkida, but nonetheless, the Kiddush of the mission is that it's good enough. Now with the Shiloh, whether the one before is good enough, or that one Bechlau, we don't really trust, because she doesn't do a good job. Yeah, but that's, we had that sugya earlier. Says the Gemara, Chutzna Nida. Okay, so you're telling me that Betoch Yemei Nidata Lo Boi Bedika, that there's no purpose in doing a Bedika while she's a Nida. Now, I'm not quite sure I understand that. Because Einichel Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, look, Reish Lakish says that although it's true that an Isha Kovat La Veset Betoch Yemei Zivata, it is possible to define a Veset in the middle of the Yemei HaZiva. Now, what does that mean? How could that happen? Very simple. Let's say that she's Roya Dam on Rosh Chodesh. If she's Roya Dam on Rosh Chodesh until the 17th, which is the end of the 7th, she's got 7-11. So if Rosh Chodesh was day 1, she's got to finish those 18 days and now start on the next day her next period of Nidais, right? Any Dam that she will be Roya during Yemei Zivais can't possibly be Yemei Nidais because the Torah defines it as Dam of Zivais. But this woman was Roya on Rosh Chodesh on the 15th, not on the 18th. And then she's Roya Rosh Chodesh again. And again, she's Roya on the 15th. And then what happens is that the next time, she's going to be Kovat on the 15th. And she skips Rosh Chodesh. She doesn't see on Rosh Chodesh. The Chiddush over there is, according to Reish Lakish, that despite the fact that initially we ignored the Re'iyos on the 15th because they were defined by the Torah as Dam that would be Dam Zivot, that she became a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, nonetheless, if the third time that she's Roya, it was not Yemei Zivot because she hadn't been Roya the prior Rosh Chodesh. So now we can add the original two Re'iyos and say, well, it's obviously a function of 15th. The fact that it happened to be, technically speaking, not Yemei Nidais, because of the fact that she had stained on the first is irrelevant. Because we're looking to hormones, not to halachas. So the hormones are telling us her 15th is the day in which she's going to be Roya. The halachas is telling us, yeah, but that doesn't have a din of Nidais. What do I care, din of Nidais? Well, who cares? The hormones aren't aware of the din of Nidais.
They're simply controlling the question of menses. So once we've established that the fact is that she's going to get her period on the 15th, I don't care whether those first two 15ths were considered to be Yemei Ziva. However, says Reish Lakish, okay, that's true about Yemei Ziva. However, when it comes to Yemei Nidot over there, forget it. She cannot be kovat aveset on days that are part of her nidos. So let's say that she stains on Rosh Chodesh, and now on the fifth of the month she's Roya Dam, in the middle mamash of her nidos, middle of her 7 days of nidos. So then that is not, if this happens again, it's not going to ever be able to be koveya aveset, because whatever it is that she sees, the yemei nidot never adds up to a veset at all. So if that's the case, the Mishnah makes sense. Why look at bleeding during her Yemei Nidot if anyway it's not going to make any difference? I don't care if she breaks out again with the Re'iyah during the 7 days after previously staining. I will never add them up to any pattern. Okay, so then what's the point of looking? So Hainich Reish Lakish, who says that although an Isha could be kovat laveset betoch Yemei Zivata, a woman can certainly not be kovat laveset betoch Yemei Nidata. So then Shapir. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that an Isha could be kovat laveset even betoch Yemei Nidata, so then she should have to check during her Yemei Nidot, Dilma kovat laveset. Amalach Rabbi Yochanan, you misunderstand my Shita completely. The case that I'm talking about is not referring to a case where I'm claiming that if she was Roya on Rosh Chodesh, and then on the 5th of the month, Roya on Rosh Chodesh, and then on the 5th of the month, and then not Roya on Rosh Chodesh, and then on the 5th of the month. You think I'm adding those? No, that's not the case I'm talking about. Because that is called, and here is a new term, that is called Ma'ayan Patuach. Mayan patuach means having established that this uterine bleeding, which is called, the uterus is the mayan, which is the font of birth, font of blood, and so on. So, Doc, if this mayan is already opened, and she's already bleeding, of course I agree that if she's already bleeding from Rosh Chodesh, the fact that she bleeds still. And when I say still, I mean still, because who cares if for the past 4 days she didn't bleed. The next 7 days after opening her Mayan, the Torah defines as days that are all part of that openness. So it's part of the openness. It doesn't define anything new. It was just that she had already been bleeding, and she's continuing to bleed. So, and that's the case in our Mishnah, and I agree that would be absolutely meaningless. The Mishnah is talking about she is Anita. Well, if she is Anita, what's the point of finding out that she had more bleeding on the fifth day? I agree that that's completely meaningless. What I'm talking about is Mimayan Satum. I'm talking about what happened was she sees, let's say, for the first time from a Mayan Satum on Rosh Chodesh. She sees again from a Mayan Satum on Rosh Chodesh. And then she stained on the 25th of that month, and she gets her real period on Rosh Chodesh. So you're going to say, since the staining on the 25th of the month defined this Rosh Chodesh as being in the middle of her Nidot, therefore it cannot be added to the previous two occasions. No. There I say that, look, you know, it sometimes goes wrong. She got her period a little early. But the clear-cut periodicity that we're defining is Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh. So I don't care about the fact that she happened to stain on the 25th. That's where I say, but that's not what our Mishnah's talking about. Our Mishnah's talking about she just got her period. And now you're telling me she should check. Why in the world should she check? Yes, of course. The Mishnah seems to be talking about all cases. Even in a case where this would be the third time. And she had seen on the 25th. And I say, no, the Mishnah's not talking about that case. Mishnah's talking about a standard case where there's no implications to bleeding in the middle of Nidot. Because it's not going to be the start of anything. That's all the Mishnah is saying. So it works out perfectly good, even according to me. Let's see that inside. Where did I say Anna? That's only where she saw her first two Re'iyot as an event that had nothing to do with previous bleeding. But Chazite Mimayan Patuach, which is the case of our Mishnah, obviously I agree with Reish Lakish and Lo Amrei that it's possible to establish a pattern in the middle of the days of Nidot. Okay. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, if this woman is Yoshevet Adam Tohar, she does not have to check. Now that seems to be a meaningless statement. I mean, obviously she doesn't need to check. What in the heck could she possibly check for? For what? For bleeding? That's not blood. The Torah says that's not blood. It just looks like blood, tastes like blood, microscopically is blood, but it isn't blood. La loka. So what would be the point of looking for blood? This is not the blood the Torah was betaming. Therefore, it must mean that she isn't yet Yoshevet Adam Tohar. It means that it is the time at which she's about to be Yoshevet Adam Tohar. And nonetheless, the Mishnah is saying, don't bother looking. Why? Because you don't need to. It doesn't matter whether you established that you stopped bleeding or you didn't establish that you stopped bleeding. So here the question is this. When the Torah says that a woman who is Rei Adam after her first 7 days of bleeding after Leda for a male, or 14 days after Leda for a female, that blood that comes afterwards is Tohar, does that mean that you look at the clock, it is now precisely the eighth day, the night of the eighth day, that's it. Same blood is coming out. Okay, any blood that came out up till midnight, so to speak, is Tomei. Any blood that continues to come out after that is Tohar. I mean, that's one way of looking at it, that it's magic. The other way of looking at it is that if their bleeding stops for a moment, and now bleeding begins, that I attribute the new bleeding to this, what the Torah calls, post-Leda bleeding. But if it's not postpartum bleeding, halakhically postpartum bleeding, then obviously it's part of the same dam. Now that is a big machloket. So in our Mishnah, it seems to be saying there would never be reason to need to establish that you, having just had a child 7 days ago or 14 days ago, you don't need to look and see whether you stopped bleeding. Well, if that's what it means, it only works out according to Rav. So, Rav, Rav says, look, this whole thing is magic. There's no physical change whatsoever between the bleeding that the Torah is calling bleeding of Leda and bleeding that the Torah is calling bleeding post-Leda. It's exactly the same blood coming from exactly the same hormones, coming exactly from the same areas. It doesn't matter. One is magically tar. And so what do I care? What do I need to establish? You stop bleeding. Then the Mishnah makes sense. Don't bother. We don't need to know. Won't make any difference. But if you hold according to Levi, who says, look, it's not magic. The Torah is being megala to you, that there is a different type of bleeding that occurs 7 days after or 14 days after. Doesn't mean a different type coming from a different place, literally. But it means that whatever the hormonal reason for bleeding, and not this thing not clamping down, is because of another reason, which we don't know. So then, according to Levi, who also the Shnei Mayanotim, for all intents and purposes, look at it as if there's two different places of bleeding. So why don't I have to know that one stopped? Because otherwise, if I see continual bleeding, I'd have to assume it's all from the same place, meaning from the same source. If it's all from the same source, then it would still be tummy, according to Levi. In which case, why does the Mishnah say, don't bother looking? Tivdok, she has to look, because she has to discover that she made a hefsek tira, so to speak. She stopped bleeding, so she got a clean bedika. Once she gets one clean bedika, all further bleeding is tar. But until she gets that one clean bedika, it won't be tar. Therefore, you should have to look, because Dilma Kati lo pasak ahumayan tame. According to Levi, how do you know that the original mokum tame, the mayan tame, has stopped? Amalaka Levi, well, amen. You know that this is a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Yes, I agree, as we're going to see much later in the Mishnah. We're going to see, according to Beit Shammai, the way I understand, the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is that they're dafka arguing about whether there's Mayan Echad or Shtei Mayanot. According to my approach to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which we'll see, Rav is going like Beit Shammai. Obviously, Rav doesn't understand that to be the machlokas. But what I understand is this Mishnah that says, don't bother looking, that's the sheet of Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai indeed holds that it's Mayan Echad. I'm saying, I'll leave it to Beit Hillel, that actually there are Shtei Mayanot. So that you'd have to establish that one is closed. So what are you saying? You're saying that the Mishnah here is Beit Shammai? Who ever heard of a Mishnah being Beit Shammai without saying Divrei Beit Shammai? I thought we never are so tame a Mishnah without attributing it to Beit Shammai, because we want everybody to know that it's not the halacha. So you're telling me that the Tana, Satamlan Tana ke Beit Shammai? No. This Mishnah is followed by the Mishnah that explains that it's a machloket Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel. So wherever you have a Stam Mishnah that is followed by a machloket, that's not called a Stam Mishnah. And therefore it's all seen as one flow in the Gemara, Mayana Chadu, and there's a Mishnah that sounds like it's Stam, but then we define it. So our Mishnah is going to leave it to Beit Shammai, because called Stam v'chakach machloket, there in fact in Halacha Kistams of anything, the Tanah is making it clear that we are not passing like this Mishnah. Okay, that's one approach. You know what? There's another approach. The other approach is, the Mishnah doesn't say what you claim it said. You claim that the Mishnah said, a woman who's about to start her Yemei Tohar. Now, that's not what it says. It says, a woman who is Yemei Tohar, okay? It doesn't tell you how she got to be Yemei Tohar. Maybe she had to make Hefsek Tyre to get to the Yemei Tohar. That's not what we're talking about. The only reason that you said, well, that must be what we're talking about. What the heck else would be the reason of making a Bedikah during her Yemei Tohar? I'll tell you, my dear friend. The Mishnah is talking about, I mean, Mika Tani Mivakeshet Leshev. The Mishnah says Yoshevet, okay? So you'll ask me, oh, come on, I mean, so what's the point? Yoshevet, Maila Meimra, I will tell you. Because Maila Detaim, if the Mishnah hadn't said so, I would have thought, you know what? She ought to check during your Yemei Tohar. Not because the dam that she finds will be tummy, but because she can establish a period during your Yemei Tohar. So let's say she sees three times during the Yemei Tohar. She's got, after all, 66 days. So let's say she sees every 20 days. So now she would have a period every 20 days. So she'd have her period afterwards. If that's the case, what about the fact that afterwards she's considered to be made neket? So it could be, maybe we're talking a little bit of Rabbi Meir, and her child died, or she didn't nurse the child, whatever. But let's ignore that question. So I might have thought, go ahead and check in order to be Koveil of Eset, just like we spoke about Lagabi the Nida, okay? So, Kamashman, therefore the Mishnah has to tell me, don't bother. Because you cannot be Koveya Aveset from a Mayan Tahar to a Mayan Tame. It's not Koveya. Wait a minute, so now you're saying it only works like Levi, who holds there's a difference between a Mayan Tahar and a Mayan Tame. I mean, that's great for Levi, but what's Rav going to say about this? So, Anikala Levi, Yomashne Mayanotem, he holds there's two different sources of bleeding. But according to Rav, who holds there's only one source of bleeding, oh my gosh, why in fact do we not make a bedika during Yemei Tohar in order to establish whether she has a veset? So, Tivdo Dimakavala Veset answers the Gemara, it wouldn't matter. Because it's not a function of the Mayan. The point is that postpartum bleeding is considered to be different than normal nidais. And therefore, you cannot be koveya veset, even according to Rav, by checking for bleeding postpartum and including that bleeding in the kviyas of a veset. So bleeding during Yemei Tohar, you cannot be koveya as blood vis-a-vis the period of Yemei Tumah, lo kava. Now, continues the Mishnah, she is supposed to be using an aid prior and post intercourse. Now, it says in the Mishnah that we have that, we've discussed the case in Ketubot. Here's a little girl, she's only 8 years old, she's not expected to get her menses. She gets married, and now she's going to be bleeding because of her betulin. So there, Beit Shammai says, she gets the next 4 nights, no matter how much blood she's got, the next 4 nights, any blood is considered to be blood from her betulin. Beit Hillel omrim, acht chaya hamaka. Because according to Beit Hillel, she can continue to bleed and not be tamei'ah until we know that the wound of the loss of her betulin has healed. And Amr of Gidol Amr Shmuel, okay, but that's only, let's understand this, for Beit Hillel is saying that she can continue to bleed, that's only if she never once didn't bleed because of intercourse. Because the intercourse is actually irritating the wound of the loss of her betulim. So because of that, it's causing bleeding. But if she does not bleed during intercourse, there's something awfully suspicious about the fact that she does bleed without intercourse. So then we're going to say, uh-oh, this is not wound blood. This is real blood. So despite the fact that up until now she hadn't been Re'adam, and she's only 8 years old, we will assume that, in fact, she has now gotten her period. In that case, says Rav Gittel, I taina that Shmuel Paskins, once she was Poska Machmas Tashmish, Poska Machmas Tashmish Varasa, then she's Tumea. Of our Laila Chat Belo Tashmish, suppose there was no intercourse. So now we're talking about a whole night without having slept with her new husband. Virata, and then she is Raya, she's Tumea. Because there again, we don't have the excuse of saying that the intercourse is maintaining her bleeding, her wound. Furthermore, if the coloration of the blood changes, nishtanu ma'adamim shala, then she would be Tumea. So in other words, we got a little bit of a problem. Because once we're saying that if there was a different color in the bleeding, we'd have to assume it wasn't coming from the same source, and that the blood from a wound is not going to look the same as uterine bleeding, then why isn't she bodeket? So this is exactly what bothers us now. Motiv Rav Yonah, didn't the Mishnah say that a betula shedamea tahorim does not have to use the edim prior and post intercourse? But according to you, Tisha Amai, Tisha Mesh Beidim, she should have to check herself because she may discover that there's been a change in the coloration of her blood, in which case it's just as important for her to know that she's not in need as it is for anybody else. You don't read the Mishnah very well, do you? But look at the ratio of the Mishnah. Now you explain to me what's going on here. The Mishnah talked about needing to check yourself twice a day, okay? And it says in the ratio, the only women who don't have to check themselves twice a day is Anita and Yoshevet Adam Toar. Note that it very, very pointedly leaves out the case of this case, the Betula. So only those two women, Udaloboy Bedika, but a Betula, where she is bleeding because of her loss of betulim, does require a bedika. Now, how do you explain that? How do you explain that the Mishnah itself has left out the betulah and says she needs a bedika, and then the very next line says, but if she's bleeding from her betulim, she doesn't need a bedika when it comes to be mishamish be'ed. Okay, so think about that for a minute before you ask questions on Rav Gittel. Ela kashna dani, what are you going to say? The only thing that you could say is kan sheshimsha de'ima shamash acharan kan shaloshimsha. Look, it's very simple. The Mishnah is coming to bring out point. The point being that even if there would be that shinoi in the mara of the dam, that is only where we can't account for that shinoi through some other reason. But if she's had intercourse, then the change in the coloration of the dam may come from the interaction with this guy's penis. It has nothing to do with coloration of coming from the uterus. We've got good reason to see, all kinds of things have happened to her. Maybe there was a coloration in the dam. So over there, what's the point of being bodeket? Masha inkein, that's also shamash. Shamash is the actual penis, we call that which is servicing, like we use for sex even today. To service a cow, it's called shimush. Tashmishamita is the same lotion of shamash. So in that case, we would, in fact, not be bodeket. But if there hadn't been any intercourse, then she has to be bodeket. So clearly the Mishnah itself is teaching you this. What are you turning around and yelling at Rav Gittel for? The Mishnah went out of its way to make you think. The Mishnah says, no, what are you going to do about this? Use your brains. There's a difference between where there would be a chashash for Shinui Adam and there wouldn't be a chashash. And that would be exactly what the difference would be, Aliba to Rav Gittel. Let's see that inside now. Clearly you'll have to say, Kanjashim Shah, we're over there, Imasha Masha Haran, and there'd be no point in concluding that anything has changed. Kanjaloshim Shah. So we'd have to wonder why the blood has changed coloration. And therefore she wouldn't need Badika. And in fact, look, I'm not making this up. Take a look at the Baraita. Tanya Namiyak says it's the Ferish. Mamed Varma, where it explains in the what's the meaning of the Mishnah? Shalopaska Machmatashmish Varata. Shalom Achmat Tashmish. If the case over there was, she had not been sleeping with the guy without being Raya. So every time there was intercourse, she was Raya. And then she continues to be Raya. So over there, fine. But in a case where paskamach matashmish and ra'ata, then she would be tmeya. So far, nothing to do with our case. Avar lailachat lo tashmish v'ra'ata tmeya. Nishtanu mar edamim shela tmeya. So what do you think? I'm making it up that the Mishnah supports Rav Gittel. The Braita says beferish what Rav Gittel said. Rav Gittel quoted Shmuel saying that a shinui mara adam is going to be matame even in this case. So does the Braita. So if you got a problem, look back in the Mishnah and figure out what the difference is. Don't start yelling at Rav Gittel. But it's a beferish of Braita that says the halacha like Rav Gittel. Look, this whole business of needing to check twice a day and needing to go ahead and to be bodik before and after intercourse, this is only where, well, first let's talk about the first case, checking twice a day. That's only for taharot. But for her husband? Of course. This has nothing to do with her husband. Obviously. It says she has to check in the morning. Checking in the morning is, I mean, it's not normal. Shay, let's check in the morning because you're about to sleep with your husband. Your husband's going off to work, and that's not normally the time you're going to be sleeping with him in the daytime, right? Ela I Itmar, actually, what Rabbi Yehuda Mishlo was referring to was remarkably the very case where she is checking for her husband. Asefa, where there it says, B'sha'ashi overet l'shamesh et beita, you have to check if she's about to have intercourse. Omer of Yoram Shmo, but wait a minute. That doesn't mean what it says, seems to be saying. It doesn't mean that a woman needs to check herself to see if she's tahor for her husband. She never has to do that. It's talking about a woman who is being a sukkah b'taharot. Such a woman, since the migo, the boy b'dika l'taharot, once we made a takona that she has to check herself for touching taharos, boy nami b'dika l'bala. So then she has to check herself for her husband. But eina sukkah b'taharot, if she doesn't have to worry about touching Tyrus, we never made a tzorach b'dika for her husband. Asked the Gemara, well, I need to know that from Rav Shmuel or Shmuel? Ma'ikam Ashmalan. Doesn't the Mishnah say beferish to Nina? Kol anashim b'cheskatar ala ba'aliyah? All women are considered to be torot for their husband without further b'dika. Well, not necessarily. You see, if I had read that, I would have said maybe what that means is that a woman who has a veset kavua and it's not the time of her period doesn't have to check for us because she becheska tyra. But how about a woman who does not have a veset kavua? Maybe she does require a bedika. What? The Mishnah is talking about an isha sheyesh la veset askina. How can you say such a thing? The Mishnah began with the words that all of the women sheyesh lahem veset, right? Nonetheless, even though we said dayan shaita, nonetheless have to check boker v'erev and b'shar that they're checking for their husband. What do you mean? So how could you possibly have said it's only talking about an isha sheyesh lahem veset? I could never have made that mistake if the Mishnah is talking about an isha sheyesh lahem veset askina. No, you misunderstand the Mishnah. The Mishnah isn't saying only if you have a veset, right? The Mishnah is saying even if she has a veset, she still has to check. That's all it's saying. So matnitim bein sheyesh la veset, u bein sheein la veset. Come tell you a chiddush that a kamash malan af agav the yesh la veset, even though she does have a veset kavua, since she needs a bedika l'taharot, she also needs a bedika for her husband. That's all that it's coming to say. And Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel is saying, and by the way, if she is not being osekit for taharot, she does not need to have a bedika, even if she doesn't have a veset kavua. So everything makes perfectly good sense. Yes, it does indeed. But the problem is, Shmuel already taught us this halacha. I think actually, we can wait for this and start our next stuff because it's getting awfully late.